But once once we were allowed to, we started Calvary Baptist Church of Ruaka, Kenya, and we celebrated 2 years in August. And just God has moved and just done some awesome things. We had 65 in our anniversary service. We started with 3, and one of those was me. So. We had one saved at our anniversary. My assistant pastor, who I have trained in leading people to Christ, was able to lead that man to Christ. It's just an awesome thing to see somebody that you've trained leading somebody to Christ. It's just a great blessing to be a part of that and be able to be used by the Lord. We have our vision for the future, Lord willing. We have a plot of land that we're hoping to be able to purchase. We are about 25 or 30% of the way there. We have about $130,000 left to purchase it. And we have, it's 9/10 of an acre. What we want to do there, we want to put a church there. We want to have a parking lot and then a football field, what they call football field, soccer. And, because really the youth is where we really need to reach that generation. When you get older, you're really stuck in your ways and it's hard to get you out of that. That the youth, though, are just really excited, just somebody to pay attention to them, and eager to learn about the Lord. So, Lord willing, we'll be able to really reach that generation, the next generation. And, sports has been a way that God has just shown us it's a way to bring them in. You saw the youth outreach day. We started going to a police post, just a plot of land near the police station. Just anyone can use it. And so we just showed up with a soccer ball and started kicking it around and was just going to have a day with some of our church kids, and suddenly all these kids just started showing up in the neighborhood. We didn't knock on one door. We didn't invite anybody, any of them. They just started showing up and kept joined in. We were doing that on a weekly basis, and we grew to about 60 kids coming. It was just amazing that God just opening up our eyes to see, you know, show us this is how you're going to reach that generation. Lord willing, we'll be able to have that where I could put a timetable on it, but I'm always discouraged every time I do that. So, God's timing, and we're hopeful, though. We'd love to be in it by our 3rd anniversary, if it's the Lord's will. And we have other things we'd like to do. We have baking in a Bible, as you saw in the video. It's a way my wife is meeting with the ladies, teaching them some basic things, just baking. They don't know how to bake anything, so she's teaching them how to do that. I have men's Bible study every Thursday night. It's really just a great time of fellowship. Faithful men. I have 6 faithful men that come every Thursday night. And it's just great to see, to visit with them. My wife makes a cake every week. I think they really come for the cake. And then the car ride home after is the highlight of the week. So, but we have a great time with that. We have a youth ministry that's growing. We have 25 or so every week in the youth ministry. Teams. You saw some of our teams on the video. Just a great group of young people eager to learn about the Lord. So pray for us. We are leaving to go back to Kenya on December 5th. We fly. It's a nice 20-hour flight for the time of the year. So that's always fun with 6 kids. I mean, if you haven't done that, you should do it sometime. It's a great time. But pray for us. I do have a table set up out back. Happy to answer any questions that you have after the service. I hope you have some questions for us. We just are amazed that, you know, being from, you know, small town Maine, I had 3 African Americans in our whole town, in my whole school, and now we live in Africa, reaching African people, and it's just God will do anything. You just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then do it when he tells you to do it. Amen? Now, let's open our Bibles this evening to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Got a lot of room back here. I could really run around. Luke chapter 16. I want to talk about the story that Jesus told when he was talking about the rich man and Lazarus. Of course, we know that this isn't a parable because he used the name Lazarus. Jesus never used a name in his parable. So this is a true story. So everything that we're going to talk about is something that actually happened and is still happening to this day. So Luke chapter number 16, starting in verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you've blessed us with. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to come and preach your word. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight, that you'd give me the words you'd have me to say, and Father, that your will would be done in the service. And Father, I pray that we'd do more for you, not because of this evening. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we have two men here. We have the rich man, and we have Lazarus. And both of them, they lived complete opposite lives on earth. One of them, I would imagine, he was clothed in purple. I guess some people are into that sort of thing. But that's a sign of wealth. And you'll never catch me in a purple suit. Amen? Maybe fast. But he had probably everything he could possibly want. He never had to have any sort of want. He wanted it, he could go get it or send somebody to get it. And then you have the opposite side of that. You have Lazarus. He had nothing. He was so poor that he just was living off of the crumbs from the rich man's table. When we hear that, I think sometimes it just kind of goes in one ear, out the other, and we don't really consider that, how poor Lazarus was. If I was to poll the church tonight and I said, unanimously, are you poor? And you just wrote on a piece of paper, I'm poor, or I'm rich, or I'm middle class, or whatever. I would suspect that some of us would say that we're poor. I know growing up, I didn't ever consider that we had anything. I knew plenty of people that had more than me. I never got the new video game system. That sort of thing. I had friends that had it, and I couldn't wait for them to invite me to their house so I could go play. Friends of mine had pools. I didn't have a pool. I didn't even have a hole in the ground to put water in. But I never considered us to be wealthy. But then you see people who are poor. And God has shown us poverty. Some of those people in the video, we've gone to visit them at their houses. Well, all of them have gone to visit them at their house. And just a particular group, really, in my mind, brings out how poor they are. And they're not even the lowest as far as the poverty level. They would be considered like a lower middle class. They're not in the slums or anything like that. But these people, it's a family that has 8 children. So there's 10. And then they have the sister lives with them. The wife's sister lives with them as well when she's not at boarding school. So there's 11 in the house. 11 in the house. Wow. In my mom's house, I remember there was a time where my sister-in-law moved in with her 2 children, and it felt like we had a lot in the house. And we only had like 8. just 11. And we had a fairly good-sized house. These 11 all live in a house that's smaller, probably about 2/3 of this section. 2/3 of that section, 11 people live in. And that might even be too big. Can you imagine cramming into such a small space with 11 people? So this is a structure that has, it's hard to call them apartments, but they're just these This particular one's two-room place, and there's about 4 of them, and then it comes around, and there's some other ones. There's about 10 to 12 of them total in this little, just inside of this compound. And they each have their own door, but they share share a bathroom. And when I say bathroom, it's not a bathroom. It's just a hole in the ground. It's an outhouse. They all share that one particular outhouse, and they all share what they would call a shower. It's not a shower. There's no water running in there. You have to fill up a bucket and then go in and you clean yourself out of that bucket. You know, you tell the difference between the shower and the toilet because the toilet hole is bigger and it's in the middle. The shower hole's in the corner. Don't go to the bathroom and the shower hole. Okay. You learn things as you go through. So one day we were over visiting them, and one of the kids had to go to the bathroom. So I was taking him to the bathroom, and I opened up, and I saw maggots crawling out of the hole. Just not pleasant. All of them have to share that one. Not just the house of 11 people. All of that whole neighborhood, if you want to call it that, have to share that one bathroom. And that one shower. Have a house that's the size of two-thirds of that section here. 11 people. You make a total of about $150 a month. I mean, that's poverty. We don't understand that kind of poverty. And that's not even as bad as this man. That's just to give us a little perspective on poor. And they would be considered pretty well off compared to some Kenyans. Some of the slum areas, which it's not safe to go there without going with somebody, those are real, real problems. And this man, Lazarus lived his life in this kind of poverty, but he was rich. I mean, you're gonna be carried away by angels if you have the same experience that Lazarus did. Carried away by angels. Every problem, every struggle, every pain, every ache, everything you stress about, gone. Just like that. His belly wasn't hungry anymore. He didn't have to worry about anything. He didn't have those nasty dogs licking his sores. That was what he did. He was rich. But then we have the rich man. The Bible calls him the rich man. And his ending is so sad. The rich man also died and was buried. It's just so final. Just, that's it. It's over. It's done for you. Every good day that you've ever had is finished. You don't have another good thing happen to you. It's done. Can you imagine this being the best that you have? This right now being the best. I praise the Lord that it's not going to be. We have so much to look forward to in heaven. But this man didn't go to heaven. He was buried. I just imagine the grave and everybody leaving and it's over. There's nothing more to think about this guy. It's done. Buried. Finished. But it really wasn't finished. It was just getting started for him. Just all the good stuff was done. Verse number 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. I don't know if you've ever been really, really hot. We are in Mississippi. I thought we were anyway until I stepped outside this morning. I don't know what happened. I'm going to Florida as fast as I can. But it gets hot here. Have you ever been so hot that you just wanted a drop of water? Just a drop to soothe you just for a moment? And we can't fathom what pain and agony and torture this man's going through. He's going through it. He didn't just go through it. He's going through it. This was told 2,000 years ago. This man's still there. He still hasn't gotten a drop of water. He still has no comfort. Still happening right now. He was so bad off, he just wanted to cool the tip of his tongue. And this is after just arriving. What a sad, sad place in hell. Pain, torture that people are going through. The devil's told us many lies, but one of the worst lies he's told is that hell's going to be a big part. Hollywood has told people, oh, it's going to be great. You're going to love it there. You don't want to go to heaven. That's where the lame people go to heaven. You want to go to hell. That's where the action is going to be. Have you ever been out soul winning and talked to somebody and they've told you something along those lines? That they look forward to going to hell? I was with my family. We were in Indiana, Northwest Indiana. We lived there for a period of time and we were out soul winning. And we knocked on a door and this lady came out and she was pretty rough. And we gave her a gospel tract and invited her to church and I tried to get into the gospel with her and she said, oh no, I don't care about that. I look forward to going to hell. I like pain. What's wrong with you that you like pain? That's so evil. She has no idea what hell really is going to be like. And I'm sure she's going to go there. And she's going on purpose. It's so sad. And she's going to be stuck there for the rest of existence, which is going to be forever, which, as my math teacher used to say, that's a long, long time. And she's never going to get out. And as we see here, she's... The rich man, he could see Lazarus. He could see him. It doesn't ever say Lazarus could see the rich man, but the rich man could see Lazarus. So he's going to see joy. He's going to see people being comforted. And she's not going to have any comfort. Just torment, torture. She'll be in a flame. You ever been burnt? What do you do when you get burnt? Scream? Yeah, that's honest. Amen. Anybody been around him when he got burned? You jump back. You jump back. That's your instinct. Just to, you jump back. Right? But then you're jumping back into a flame. And then you jump forward, and you're in a flame. And it's just bouncing back and forth, burn, 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 burn. Flame. Can't get out of it. Can't get out of it. It's not going to be a fun place. It's going to be a terrible place. And this man found himself there. And Abraham answers him. But Abraham said in verse number 25, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that that they which would pass from hence you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. So he's gone through all of his options. He's tried. He wants to get out of this place. He wants to get some sort of comfort. Abraham tells him, you can't get comfort. You can't get out. We can't go to you. You can't come to us. That's it. Sorry. But he didn't stop there. He didn't stop there. This is where the argument of hell is just one big party falls apart. It falls apart in these next verses. Because he realizes he's stuck there. He can't get out. And then he makes a plea. Verse number 27, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So he's got siblings, he's got family, and he wants to avoid them going through what he's going through. He doesn't want them to come join him so they can enjoy it together. No, no. Send Lazarus so that they won't come here where I am. They won't go through what I'm going through. We all know somebody who's passed on, somebody who's died for us. We all know somebody that maybe we've tried to reach with the gospel and they rejected it. And now we can figure they might be, or most probably are, in hell. My father died in 1984. I was a year and a half old. I'm the youngest of four boys. I was a disappointment. I was supposed to be a girl. I've been disappointing my mother ever since. Took her grandkids after. My dad died, and I've heard a number of stories about him. I didn't know him, obviously, because I was a year and a half old. But I heard some stories about him. And what I know of him is that he worked hard, but he played hard. He lived a rough life in that way. He had nothing to do with God throughout the whole time that I was, or my siblings were around. We never went to church or anything like that. And as far as I can tell, if I had to guess, he's in this place. And he's been there. 38 years. And he's burning. He's been tormented. The worm dieth not. Have you ever dealt with nasty bugs? Nasty bugs. Like cockroach-type bugs. He's going through it. And I can picture my dad being like this rich man. Where this rich man, he's going through his options. Okay, I can't get any comfort. I can't get out of here. Send somebody to tell my family. Somebody so that they won't come here. Somebody. And I can picture my dad ending up opening up his eyes in this place of hell, this place of sin. Going through his options, trying to get out, can't get out. And coming to the realization that I have family. Still has a chance. I have a wife. Still has a chance not to come to me. Send somebody to tell Wanda. Send somebody to tell Randy. Send somebody to tell Jeremy. Send somebody to tell John. Send somebody to tell Corey. So they don't come here. Send somebody. Tell my children. Tell my parents. Somebody. It doesn't take anybody special to go give the gospel. If it took somebody special, I wouldn't be there. I'm nothing from nowhere. I have zero Christian heritage. None. But God can use me. He can use you. And to consider that you're their last option. You can't help them. They're already in hell. They're begging you. They're crying out. There's more people in hell calling out for people to go to the lost than there are on earth. Because they know. They know the truth. We know the truth too, but we're excited about heaven. We got the answer. Right? We're good. We're bought with a price. We're not our own. He was owned. And he's, for whatever reason, decided to have us be the ones to go to hell. To be that somebody for somebody else. Somebody in hell. answered that call of my dad crying out for somebody to go to me. We've all had somebody compel us. You're here tonight. Somebody invited you. Somebody gave you the gospel. And if you haven't heard the gospel yet, don't leave until you do. My wife was you to be that somebody for me. The one that cared for my soul. I just had my spiritual birthday yesterday. 23 years. I got saved November 12th, 1999. And it was because she invited me to youth gathering. She was my somebody. She answered my dad's call to be that somebody. Sure, she was in love with me. And I was just so wonderful. But everybody needs somebody. And if you're here, you either have the answer or you know people with the answer. And we all know people that need the gospel. We all do. And we can all be somebody for somebody. We can all be the one used to reach somebody with the gospel. Maybe you've done it in the past and you got out of it. You stopped doing it. Bring the gospel to you. People get saved every day. Praise the Lord for that. This country needs God. We don't need new leadership in the White House or in Congress or in the government. And I'm for conservatives and I'm for godly people being our representatives, but it doesn't matter if God isn't being preached in the streets and in the doors and in the church house. We don't need new leadership. All this passes away. The only thing that lasts is the soul. Souls and men. Are we going to be somebody? For somebody? People in hell right now are crying out to you. They're begging to go tell them. We're crying. Go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. And Father, we thank you for Jesus telling this story so that we could hear it, so that we could know. It makes hell real. Father, I pray that you would help us to do our part so that fewer people will go to this place. I pray that you would give us a heart to tell. Not let people pass us without giving them the opportunity to hear about you. Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts to be souls. Stir our hearts to be givers so others can go. And stir our hearts to reach those around us with the gospel. Because it's real. Hell is real. And we don't want them to go. I pray, Father, that you would bless those that would go for you, and that you would move in their midst. You'd bring them to people that want to hear. Many will come to know you because of this group of people. Bless each one as they follow you. There is in Jesus' name.
Well, let's stand if you would. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And there's really a pretty simple and straightforward message. And just before the piano plays here in a moment, public invitation. We believe in soul winning.